I am the Lord your God, who grasp your right hand. It is I who say to you, fear not, I will help you. Fear not, O worm Jacob, O maggot Israel. I will help you, says the Lord. Your Redeemer is the Holy One of Israel. I will make of you a threshing sledge, sharp, new, and double-edged, to thresh the mountains and crush them, to make the hills like chaff. When you winnow them, the wind shall carry them off, and the storm shall scatter them. But you shall rejoice in the Lord and glory in the Holy One of Israel. The afflicted and the needy seek water in vain. Their tongues are parched with thirst. I, the Lord, will answer them. I, the God of Israel, will not forsake them. I will open up rivers on the bare heights and fountains in the broad valleys. I will turn the desert into a marshland and the dry ground into springs of water. I will plant in the desert the cedar, acacia, myrtle, and olive. I will set in the wasteland the cypress, together with the plane tree and the pine, that all may see and know, observe and understand, that the hand of the Lord has done this. The Holy One of Israel has created it. The Word of the Lord. I have chosen the first reading for this day to share a couple of thoughts on, because I am so strongly moved during this season of Advent by the Isaiah readings and the images that they keep presenting to us. For the past couple of days now, we have had reassurances from the prophet Isaiah about God's desire to be with the people of Israel and to save them and free them from their harm, from their misery, from their pain, from their sorrow. For days now, beginning on Tuesday, when we heard from chapter 40, comfort, give comfort to my people, we hear from the prophet the description of a God who wants to look after the people in their suffering, who wants to be with them. We heard it again yesterday. We heard it on Wednesday, that those who trust in the Lord, no matter their suffering, will soar as if they are on eagle's wings. Though they may grow weary, they will not grow faint. Though others grow weary and faint, those who trust in the Lord shall not. And then once again today, we have just a continuation of this affirmation of the desire of God to be with us, to be with the people, to be with the people even at their worst. We even hear in this reading some pretty strong words. It's pretty blatant. It's pretty graphic the way the prophet is talking about God's care for this particular kind of people by even saying, fear not, O worm Jacob, O maggot Israel. I will help you, says the Lord. I will help you, says the Lord. And then he continues to speak about how his help shall turn everything upside down, and water shall flow in deserts, trees will grow up from sand, all kinds of magnificent, wonderful things will happen that are completely unheard of, because when God gets involved, miracles happen. We hear this over and over again, which simply makes me believe all the more strongly this year, as it always has, that this season is a season about the fullness of God's compassion. The fullness of compassion. And the message to us, the message to preachers, the message to believers, is that we are the recipients of that fullness, and we are also the caretakers of that fullness. We are the promoters of that fullness. We are the channels of that fullness. We are the ones not only who benefit from receiving, but we are the ones who are entrusted with paying it forward to the best of our ability, and to seeing somehow that even others will learn from our preaching that their role too is to pay forward the incredible, incredible compassion of our God. I think that this reading today strikes me very much of the kinds of teaching that Pope Francis is giving, especially when he says, when the prophet says, worm, Jacob, and maggot, Israel, when he uses those very, very strong terms, what he is saying to them is, no matter how bad you are, no matter what shape you're in, no matter how miserable your life may be, I will help you. I will be there for you, no matter. Now, I hear that, and I hear very much the very kinds of things that Pope Francis is saying, that the joy of the gospel belongs to everyone in the world, that no one can be excluded, that even the most miserable life still has a right to the joy, the good news of the gospel. And he has said specifically, even if your life is infected with evil, even if you are addicted to drugs or alcohol, no matter the misery in your life that you may be even responsible for, no one can deny you the joy of the gospel, that every human being on this earth has the right to that gospel. So I hear the Pope saying that, and I see him trying to do something to make sure that the people whose lives are miserable feel that compassion and feel that joy. When I listen to the prophet Isaiah, I sometimes think to myself, I love the beauty of God's promise to be with us when we are at our worst or when we are our most miserable. And yet, even though these promises come through, we see a world that is suffering terribly. We see the devastation of war continuing on and on and on. We see displaced peoples whose lives must be more miserable than most of us can even comprehend. We can see that the world is suffering terribly, and that for many people, they do not feel the relief of this promise that comes to us in this season of compassion, this season of Advent. As I thought about that, I thought, they don't. Whether or not the fulfillment of this promise actually takes root and plays a part in their lives depends upon those of us in the world. God has sent God's messengers. God has said what God wants the world to look like. God has said the freedom from misery and pain and suffering that he wants his people to have. As we look through the world and we see the people who are not experiencing that freedom, can we blame God, or must we assume responsibility for yet not having preached it enough or not having done enough ourselves to see that it comes about? We are the bearers of that relief. We are the bearers of that good news, whether we do the relief ourselves or whether we preach it consistently so that people take on the responsibilities of relief for those in the world who are suffering the most. Either way, it seems that whether we do it or whether we preach it, whether we both do it and preach it, that somehow we are the ones, we are the channels through which the Isaiah prophecies actually find their fullest expression and actually find their fulfillment. This is the greatest season of compassion that we can imagine. It is absolutely beautiful as we expect the coming of this Lord of Light and this compassion in our lives. But if it is to be real, it is going to have to be hand-delivered by the believers, by the faithful, every one of the baptized, and especially by the preachers. We are the ones who are to hand-deliver the compassion that is promised in the season of Advent. There's a beautiful prayer from Judy Chicago in the dinner party that I have adapted for some of my preaching, and it is simply titled, A Prayer for Compassion. I would like to conclude with that today. Holy and awesome God, help us to know compassion, to be compassion, to spread compassion, so that all that has divided us will merge, and compassion will be wedded to power, so that softness will come to a world that is harsh and unkind. And then both men and women will be gentle, so that no person will be subject to another's will. And then all will be rich and free and varied, so that the greed of some will give way to the needs of many, and then all will share equally in earth's abundance, so that all will care for the sick and the weak and the old, and then all will nourish the young, and then all will cherish life's creatures, so that all will live in harmony with each other and the earth, and then everywhere will be called Eden once again. Holy and awesome God, help us to become your compassion through Christ our Lord.